is Good Morning Scotland. Representatives from most of the countries in the world are expected to sign the so-called Paris Agreement on global climate control later today. The ceremony is being held at the United Nations headquarters in New York and emphasises a universal commitment to combat the global issue. So what's the significance, and will there really be any noticeable change? Well, Richard Black is Director of the Energy and Climate Intelligence Unit, and Tom Ballantyne is the Chair of Stop Climate Chaos Scotland. Thanks very much for both of you for joining us. Richard, can I start with you? I mean, we talk about this being a significant agreement, but surely it's only significant if it works. So given that, how significant is it?
Yeah, I think it's very significant. I mean, I was there at the Copenhagen summit 6 years ago, and standing in the wreckage of that as countries went off into the sunset, it would impossible to imagine that 6 years later you'd have an agreement under which every country in the world had agreed to constrain its greenhouse gas emissions. It's an expression of political will, largely, and that is the key thing, that every country in the world is now taking this stuff seriously. We're expected to see 160-odd countries signing the agreement today in New York. That's going to break the record by a mile for the number of first-day signings of any UN treaty. Of course, it's not the end of the road. There are many decades of further work needed, but it's a very significant moment, I think.
And Richard, what will it actually mean in practical terms for the likes of us? Because I think I saw one poll that suggested 70% of people worldwide would like to see something done about cut CO2 levels. But presumably, if you actually asked them, would you like to use your car less or spend more on fuel, they would be less enthusiastic.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, when analysts sit down, when academics sit down and work out how you solve this thing, there are really three things that they say you need to do. Every country needs to become more efficient in the way it uses energy. Then you need to decarbonize, as they say, your power sector, i.e., you know, produce electricity without any carbon emissions. And then you need to extend the use of electricity into things like transport and home heating, where currently fossil fuels are burned directly. So you're right, societies are not going to accept this stuff if it means wearing a hair shirt and not using a car. The trick is to have a planned transformation where eventually you end up, you know, using other things that do the same job for fewer emissions.
Tom Ballantyne of Stop Climate Chaos Scotland, how do you view this? Is it a bit like, I don't know, 20 banjos thrown in the Clyde? It's a start.
It's more than a start. It's a reinforcement of the fact that all nations have joined in a common cause to sort this problem out based on their past, current and future responsibilities. And that's a huge step forward. But I think you referenced at the beginning the fact that it's a step on the way, and it's only going to be a helpful document if the document itself leads to action. But what I think it shows is that people have seen the change around them. Governments have seen the change around them in their climate and in the weather patterns that are going on. They've understood the science. And they've realised that they need to get momentum. They need to keep momentum going after Paris and get the quickest possible progress. And that means moving away from fossil fuels towards renewable energy very quickly. I think the main message I would have today is that it's not about doing something. It's about doing enough and doing it quickly enough.
And is Scotland doing enough?
Scotland has set good targets. We are part of the developed world, and I think we've recognised that we, having been the main cause of the problem, one of the people who have been the main cause of the problem, need to do the most to sort it out. So, yes, we've set good targets. We've done good things on renewables. We've set up the Climate Justice Fund that recognises our responsibility to the poorer nations around the world. But, of course, we've missed some of our annual targets, and we know that much more needs to be done. We know that we need to do more about energy efficiency and renewable heat for warm homes, getting people out of cars and onto public transport, walking and cycling. And we've got control of air passenger duty coming up, and that would allow us to cut climate emissions if we use that kind of duty in the right way. Land use strategy, another area where the way we use our land can either be carbon emission efficient or inefficient, and we need to do a lot of work there. So there's lots of things to be done, but we certainly set a good target and we have made some progress in the right direction.
So Richard Black, if that's two cheers for Scotland, what about the rest of the world? What about, who are the world's dirty men, if you like, in terms of churning it out? People used to point at China, which was heavily coal dependent, but China's really embracing the idea of renewables now, isn't it?
Incredible transformation in just a few years. I mean, just a few years ago, you used to say, you know, and it was correct that China was building a new coal-fired power station every week. Now it's building the equivalent capacity in clean energy and is going to do the same thing for the next 15 years. It's been an extraordinary transformation. Just a couple of weeks ago, most of the Chinese provinces have put a moratorium on building new coal-fired power stations. It seems their emissions from coal have peaked. And really, I think this has happened for a couple of reasons. I mean, Tom was absolutely right to sort of reference the growing evidence of climate change in the world around us. But the other thing is that the alternatives are becoming much more affordable. The Indian minister the other day was just saying that, you know, solar power in India is now cheaper than coal. In both China and India, we're seeing new coal-fired power stations still come online, but they're being used less and less and less. So it is a very, very marked and very, very swift transformation. And you could make a case now that China and some other developing countries are actually ahead of the West now.
But Tom, is there not an impression, given all these statistics that we were just referencing there, of what looks like rising temperatures on a fairly regular basis now, that perhaps the cat's out the bag, the genie's out the bottle, that it's actually too late?
Well, there's certainly an issue around the level of emissions as they're going up. And I was reading in the UK Climate Commission committee report that if emissions continue at the current rate, the total for a likely chance of staying below 1.5 degrees centigrade will be exceeded by around 2020. So that really goes back to my point that it's not about doing something, it's about doing enough and doing it fast enough.
Tom Ballantyne of Stop Climate Chaos Scotland and Richard Black of the Energy and Climate Intelligence Unit, thank you both very much. It's coming